Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight. Father, I just ask right now that you continue the work that you started in our midst. Father, God, open up our spiritual ears so we can really hear what you're saying tonight. And open up our spiritual eyes so we can see as you truly do see. And Father, all those who are out there who are hurting, lost, and dying, I'm asking, God, that you send reinforcements to them. You encourage them and you lift them up right now. And Father God, let us not be selfish with your love, but let us share the love of Christ with all that we meet. And Father, I truly do thank you for the opportunity to sit at your table once again tonight and to learn of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we never know what a person's going through. And you know, I know we all mess up. And we know that the enemy is one that makes us mess up. And then he suspects and laughs as we have to go through the torment that he caused us to get in trouble with. And tonight as I was sitting there, I know somebody that's in a lot of trouble right now. And God said, daughter, pray that they don't treat them like a dog. And you know, so I was sitting there praying for that purpose. And I know this person very well, and I really do love them, and they are in a lot of trouble. So I would just really, you know him, Bradley. Please hold him up in prayer. Because God wants him held up in prayer. God had me take him to the courtroom. You see, I'm glad I'm not walking in his shoes. I'm glad I'm walking in my shoes, and I know the love of God, and I know the grace and mercy of God. But then it's my job then to share that with other people too. Just not keep it bound up in our hearts. But we have to let other people know that there is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And a God that loves them no matter what you're going through. God still loves them. No matter what they did. So tonight we're going to have You Learned to Love Part 2. Let's go to 1 John 3:23, and it says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. In John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And see, just like this young man, just as much as God loves me or you, that's how much love we should pour back into him, no matter what the problem is. And you know, we know that drugs are running rampant. We know that the Satan's trying to take down all of our children with drugs, even grown-ups with drugs. And we aren't to sit around and judge them. What we're supposed to do is be praying that God sends an angelic host to them to rip that junk out of them, because that's what God wants to do. And instead we get all upset and we talk about them, say, oh, they're not worth anything, and we go on. And we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. But see, they're more in the body of Christ don't understand that. And so instead of them praying and lifting the people up, they curse them by the words that they speak about them, against them. And God wants us to stop that. And what does he say? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, love is a universal key that unlocks the heart of mankind and brings home the lost and forbidden. Love is a great heartbeat of the Father leaning toward his children that brings a longing in their heart to cling to his robe. Love is never ending. If you don't have love as your foundation, you don't have any key at all. Because love is the key. And we can all say with surety of heart that we've battled the love walk. You know, the enemy's come at us at many, many times and tried to get us out of the love walk. If we would have allowed him to do that, he would have taken the key. And our foundation would not be love. And we would not be able to do the things God's calling us for to do. So no matter what's going on in your life, please, Don't give the enemy any space to take your love walk from you. Not everything we do in life seems pleasant to our flesh. Sometimes we encounter unlikely situations that rub us the wrong way, or they don't seem fair or right. Somehow it doesn't fit into our schedule or our way of thinking. At times we feel like life hasn't dealt us a very good hand. None of us are exempt from bad or difficult things happening in our life. I don't care who we are, bad and difficult things will happen in our life before we reach heaven. That's a given. And we have to learn to be strong when these things are happening. And we have to learn to lean upon God and His love and draw from His love and not another person's love. One key to remember that will help overcome difficult situations is that in all things we do, do them as unto the Lord. That's in Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Everything that we do, do as unto the Lord. In other words, if I'm upset with Nancy here and I don't want to ever talk to her, but I go to and I talk to her like she's Jesus sitting there. And I talk to her just like I would to Jesus. Do you understand what that's saying? Everything that you do at them as unto the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 13 is considered the love chapter because Paul eloquently describes the characteristics of the true nature of God. Christ is His Son, and He demonstrated the fullness of His Father's nature. We are children of God and are called to walk in the same likeness of our Father and Jesus. The way that we do this is to be a vessel of His love, by following His life's pattern in these scriptures that we're going to read. I'm really imploring you, each and every one of you tonight, to work on your love walk like you've never worked on it before, because there's a whole lot of hurting people out there that you're going to have to minister love to in order for them to get saved. So what if they got yourself in their own mess? Jesus still loves them. You got yourself in your own mess when you were in a mess, didn't you? But Jesus didn't leave you. He loved you. And this is what we need to learn to do to those who are out there who are messed up. We are children of God. Did I just read that? Where is it? God is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. And the whole essence of His being is love. I like the Amplified version of this chapter because it better describes what love is and what it is not. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the Amplified Bible says in verse 4, love endures long. Now, I want you to check yourself out. Do you qualify for this? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5 says, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. How many of us would get a big fat F right there? We would not pass that test with God. Verse 6 says, love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. How many would fail that at some point because they deserved it? No. Then you deserve something too, right? And verse 7 says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. There's your love weakened whenever it's under being tested. Think about that. And some of us can say, yes, it does weaken, but we rally around real quick, and we get this love walk going real quick like, and just tell the devil where he can go. And then we go ahead and we walk in the love of Christ the way we ought. And verse 8 says, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. It is important we remember that when we stand in front of Jesus, there's only one question He will ask each one of us. have you learned to love? We won't have time to conjure up some lame excuse or think about what we should have done. We are spirit to spirit with the Holy Son of God, and our spirit cannot lie. We may have labored hard and accomplished extraordinary deeds or performed many acts of valor, but if we have not learned to be a vessel of his love to others, we have accomplished nothing. I remember years and years and years, I just thought love was the best thing in the world. I mean, I did. And, you know, I lived it, I walked it, I ate it, you know, everything. Then after a very, very bad marriage of 35 years, one day I decided there was no such thing as love. I burned everything in my house that had love attached to it. And I really knew when I got out of the love walk, when I walked by my dog and kicked it. I'm serious. I said, get out of my way, and I kicked it. At that point, I fell on the floor and cried because I knew I'd gone to the extent of ending my love walk and getting into hate. And I had to cry out to God and get my love walk back again. You know, I don't care what a person does to you. It's not worth your salvation. And when you find yourself becoming bitter about things, you better very quickly go before the Father and get that bitterness out of you, or it's going to destroy you. Amen. You know, I have found out over my lifespan that a person cannot destroy you unless you allow them to. And I'm trying to teach my two young grandsons, you have a mind of your own. You don't do what other people do. You don't let other people take you down. It's really hard right now loving in this hate-filled world. And I don't care who you are, Christian or not, the devil steps in there all the time trying to make sure that you don't complete your walk with God by still in your love. Amen. You might not be going through these tests right now. Thank God you're not. But your day's coming. Everybody's going to be tested with your love walk. You right to the very core, you'll be tested. So if you're not being tested, then get yourself ready. I was reading an article, I think I had Brother Chris send it out. God told this lady to get prepared, because something was coming. So she got herself all spiritually prepared. But what happened was the COVID came and the food wasn't there. So she wasn't prepared with food. So now she keeps herself prepared with food and with spiritual things so that she's totally and completely prepared. And see, this is just how the enemy will do. He'll get you off course, get you into a corner and get you thinking about one thing when there's other things that God is trying to show to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 says, we can have great faith and demonstrate the miraculous, but if we have not love, we are nothing. Love is forgiveness. Love means forgiving. No matter what the circumstance, forgive. If we don't forgive others, God cannot forgive us. You know, you ladies and even you men where you've had a relationship with a man or woman and they really, really hurt you really bad and you just can't quite get over it, and you really can't quite forgive them. You've got to forgive them. You really do, because if you don't forgive them, then God can't use you. And I really don't know where you end up at, because if you can't walk in forgiveness, then you can't go to heaven. Are you understanding this? And I think we've all been in the boat where somebody's hurt us so bad, we really want them to die. I'm being honest about it. You just want them out of the picture altogether. But that isn't the way God wants us to think. He wants to love. He wants us to love the unlovable. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, Jesus said, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm sorry, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need God's forgiveness, so therefore we need to forgive others who have come against us. Now, unconditional love means not putting our demands or conditions on another. Just love them. How many of us have fallen short in that? If you really, you know, when I'm getting this together, I think about me and what I've done. I think, God, I've fallen short in that area. I'm trying to put demands on others that they really can't live up to. And all God wants me to do is to love them. And then I'm hearing him say that he will perfect them. All right. So as the Father loves us with our sin nature, so we must love our brother, simply love the sinner and hate their sin. As the Father loves us with our sin nature, so we must love our brother, simply love the sinner and hate their sin. Now, I know I've done this. Well, I love you, but hate your sin. And really, truly, that was not right. I couldn't deal with them either. I'm being honest with you. And you need to be honest with yourself. And God chastised me about that. And he said, daughter, you need to change your mind and your heart on these things. Yes, we do hate the sin, but let's be honest. We also didn't like the person that was sinning either. Right? I'm sorry, I know I'm not the only one in this boat. God always told me, daughter, you're not the only one in the boat. There's plenty there with you. So just repent and say, God, I'm really sorry. And it's just that simple. You don't have to make a big to-do about it. Don't have to lie about it is what I'm trying to say. Just be honest. This is where I was at, God, and I'm really sorry, and I want to repent. Sacrificial love is to lay down your life for others, deny yourself, and pick up your cross. God gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Jesus went to the cross by his own will. Sacrificial love is to lay down your life for others. In other words, you will not want others to always beckon to your call. Well, nobody ever pays attention to what I'm saying. You're not walking in the love walk when you do that kind of stuff. So they're not listening. Big whoop. Are you going to go to hell for that? You see what this is all about? I'm sorry, guys, but everybody's not always going to listen to you. Especially your kids. They're definitely not going to listen to you. If you have two kids like I do, they're going to always question you. All right, love your neighbor. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm going to be honest, there's many times I've said, God, I really do love you. I really do love you. And he says, daughter, you have to start learning to love those around about you as much as you say you love me. And it doesn't matter what they are doing. You have to love them just like you say you love Christ. Are you listening here? And God said to me, daughter, I know you love me and I know how much you love me. But I want you to share some of that love with those around about you who really don't know me, who really need me. And you're right then and there, you really don't want to share no love at all with them. But your Father's saying to you, you have to. You have to. If you're going to be his vessel that he can work through. Who are your worst enemies? The ones in your household. Your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your kids. They're your worst enemy. Isn't that what the word says? All right. Love your enemies. This is perhaps the most difficult testing of love, but it is possible to do. When I was going through a very difficult time in my life, the Father told me I had to love a certain person that was in the process of destroying my character. Of course, I gave the Lord reasons why it was impossible for me to love this person. Again, he told me that I must love this person, and again I answered, I can't. Then the Father gently said to me that I must love this person the same way he loved those who crucified his son. I deeply repented for my hardness of heart and stubborn behavior. The Lord taught me that my love for the Lord is far greater than any degree of hurt or offense anyone can bring against me. I must remember it is not the person, it is an antichrist spirit operating in the other person. And we do not war against flesh and blood. How many times do we say that, but we really don't know what we're saying? It's just something that flows off of our lips because we've heard it so often. Because we really, really knew that we were not fighting the person, but just the flesh and the blood, but the antichrist. We wouldn't be doing the things we do to people. You're wanting to hurt that person. And see, that's not love. In Luke 6:27, Jesus said, But I say to you who hear. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Hallelujah. Now let's read this again, Teresa Ann. We had a discussion about this last night, so let's read this again. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. One time I said to God, God, my cheeks are wearing out. He said, no, they'll last. Keep turning the other cheek in love. And how many of you think your cheeks are wearing out sometimes? But they're not, because God is with you and God's taking care of you. That we have the ability within us to turn our conversation into intercession. Instead of gossiping about someone who treats you unkindly, pray for him or her. See them through the Father's eyes of love and speak life, love, and his destiny into them. See that? See them through the Father's eyes of love and speak life, love, and his destiny into them. Begin to treat them according to the golden rule. After all, isn't that the way you would want them to treat you? Luke 6:31 said, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Boy, some of you must want people to treat you pretty bad the way you treat others. You're listening. No fear in love. There is no fear in love. Why? Because God is love, and he loved us first and called us to be his own. He is in us, and we are in him. As we continue to grow in his love, we develop a more perfect love. Love toward him, toward ourselves, and for our brethren. Now, we're talking about fear here. Now, there's a lot of fear in the body of Christ. Check out your love walk. Why do you walk in fear? Because your love walk is not perfected yet. A mature, perfect love casts out fear and lives by faith and hope in Christ as they are led by the Holy Spirit of truth. Fear cannot dwell in a mature vessel of love. Fear cannot dwell in a mature vessel of love. Fear brings with it terror, despair, anxiety, and hopelessness. See that? And fear knows no love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached a full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. Why do you walk in fear? Because your love walk is not perfected. Why are you always afraid somebody's going to do something to you or hurt you or, you know, say something about you or turn on you? Because your love walk's not perfected. You're not, remember this morning we talked about trust. You're not trusting God. Somebody said to me a couple of days ago, you don't fear anything. And I said, no, I don't, because I trust God. God is with me and God protects me. And he said he would never leave me nor forsake me, so I have really nothing to fear. Right? Come on. Too many times I've heard Christians say they cannot forgive another person because of something they said or did against them. Sometimes it is an old family matter that's never been resolved, and over the years it has festered in their souls. It's often an ex-mate or parent that's wounded them so badly that they find it impossible to forgive them. Most commonly, the hurt, wound, deception, or whatever you might want to call it, comes from someone we loved and trusted. That's a big amen, isn't it? The hurt goes so deep, and without forgiveness, bitterness sets in. Yet these wounded souls are good Christians and attend church every Sunday without fail, and many hold positions in the church. They really have a love for the Lord, and you can see their fruit. But the reality is they hate their brother or the one that wounded them. Therefore, they are not perfected vessels of love, and their fruit is tainted. Are you listening to this? I'm a people watcher, always have been, and I watch people. You can tell what's going on in their homes. You can tell what's going on in the workplace. You can tell if somebody says something they don't like when they walk into the house of God, because, boy, they really do react to it in a bad way. Why is that? Because their love walk is not perfected. According to God's word, if anyone says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar. In 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God and hates, detests, abominates his brother in Christ, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Come on. How do we change this? Love your brother, forgive him, and love him. It doesn't mean you have to have dinner with him again, but we are commanded to love. Love is our DNA. 1 John 4, it'd be nice though if you could really love him to the point where you could invite him into dinner. and you know, and really be happy about it, and you know, and it didn't bother you, that would be great. But just forgiving him is good enough, I guess. And don't worry about dinner. All right? 1 John 4:21, in this command, charge, order, injunction we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother believer also. You know, it's just not a believer either. We're supposed to love everyone, right? And everybody's our brother and sister according to the word, right? And so, you know, instead of saying, well, they don't go to church, so I don't have to love them. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's what's going to get them into church, is your love for them. Amen. The enemy has no weapon against love, and therefore he will continue adding salt to the wound as a constant reminder of the hurt or offense. Okay, let's just stop it. How many of you might have done that to your kids? You come there and say, hi, everybody. You know, just act like you never did anything wrong. And you sit there, I'm just so good. And all the time you know inside, you had just done the most stupid thing in your life. But see, I always tell mom myself, so you, I don't have no closet. There's no skeleton in it. I don't even have a closet, let alone put one in there. That's what you need to do. This is what I just did, and I feel bad about it. You know, be honest. Tell it to your friend. Say that I did the most stupid thing, and get over it. So you can go ahead then and enjoy God and the rest of the day, week, or whatever. Each time you rehash the incident, it adds fuel to his flame and draws you further away from perfected love in Christ. It takes an act of love to forgive from your heart. That's why God said we have to have our hearts free to be hurt. It takes an act of love to forgive from your heart. But when you do, you release your weapon of love, and the enemy has no defense against it. He is a defeated foe, and you draw nearer to God. But when you do, you love, and you forgive, you release your weapon of love, and the enemy has no defense against it. He is a defeated foe, and you draw nearer to God. And I'm going to tell my testimony, which I'm going to probably tell till I die. You know, my husband always ran on me. And I got born again, you know, and I was it. You know, I was religious. And I just knew that he was going to die and go to hell, and I prayed he would. I'm being honest now. And then when I told that to my pastor, she said, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? She says, you have to forgive him. I said, forgive him for what he did to me? Yes, or you won't go to heaven. It took her, I think, 3 months to convince me of that. Because I just knew that he needed to go to hell. And he knows that I did this. He's dead now. He's in heaven. But still and all. So she finally convinced me that I had to forgive him. So I went home, and, you know, this is the man who ran on me for 30-some years at that point. It was 45 that all ended. But anyhow, I knelt down at his feet, got on my hands and knees, and said, I really want you to forgive me. I didn't do anything wrong, but I talked about him. That's gossip. It's just wrong in God's eyes. I want you to forgive me for talking about you. He sat there so smugly. He said, well, I have to think about this. I don't know if I want to forgive you or not. I'm being honest. I wanted to slap him. I'm being honest. I ran to reach up and slap him, but I stayed on my knees and said, God, please give me strength. And then all of a sudden I felt a release, and I got up and I said, well, whether you receive this or not, I've done what is right in God's eyes, and I truly mean it. I do forgive you. And I walked on, and I was free as a bird, and he was still bound. So what I'm saying here is you might run into that too, but you're going to stay there on your knees. You get that thing under control and give that to God so that doesn't follow you. But you did the right thing. From the very core of your heart, you asked him to forgive you for talking about them, which really is running down their character, right? And I never talked about them until I got born again, went in church, and everybody would listen. I'd tell them about my miserable state. Finally, a pastor said to me, Barbara, you know why nobody wants to talk to you? And I said, no, they don't want to hear your miserable state of living. You need to quit talking about that. And then that's when we get on to the other subject. I had to forgive. But haven't you done that too? You know, people don't want to care. They have enough of their own problems. They don't care really to hear you rehash your junk over and over again. So quit. Do like I did, just quit. All right? Have you learned to love? I hope you learned something tonight. Have you learned to love? Now, that's what Jesus is going to ask you. I'm asking you, have you learned to forgive? And have you learned to love the unlovable? Now, if you can answer both yes to both those questions, then you are learning to love. But if you can't answer those two questions, then you still have a little bit of a walk to go. Have you learned to forgive? Really forgive? And have you learned to love the unlovable? And have you learned to love? Will be when you stand before God and he says that, you can quickly say, yes, I have. You won't have to think about, what am I going to say? Oh, God is going to throw me into hell. You won't think about none of that, because you'll know that you did your legwork and you forgave everybody who hurt you. But I hope you all think about this. And if somebody's really hurt you, forgive them. Because really, they really don't know what they're doing when they mess with a child of God. Just forgive them, and really forgive them from the very depth of your heart. You'll know if you're forgiven if you get out of your bitterness. Because when you're walking in unforgiveness, you're bitter. So don't allow, if bitterness is still there, you have not yet forgiven to the depths you need to. Amen. I'm hearing God say, children, if you want me to use you, you'll have to follow these guidelines tonight. I cannot use anyone that won't forgive and anyone that won't love. So if you're having some deep emotions, even mental emotions, about the wounds that you've incurred during your lifetime, God is saying, if you'll come up, he'll remove that for you so that you won't have those hindrances any longer, and you'll be able to love like Christ loved. So the altar's open right now for that.